And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Medow. So glad you can spend part of your day with us as we are recapping all the latest roster moves today that the Giants made over the last few days, specifically on Monday. So we'll get to that. Some new arrivals.
Good news.
New
We're
faces.
Still here.
Correct. We are still here. We were not included in those transactions. That is certainly a positive. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. Two ways for you to interact with us here on the program. We'll get to your phone calls, we'll get to your tweets momentarily. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So four transactions were made yesterday, Paul. They waived four players, which opened the door for four undrafted free agents to be brought into the mix. And in terms of the players that were waived, wide receiver Ben Edwards, he was waived injured. He got injured in one of their offseason workouts most recently, as well as linebacker James Morris. He was not waived injured. He was just a clean waive. But those two players to note were on the roster last season. And then they waived Josh Woodrum, the quarterback, as well as tight end Cedric Lang. They were both recently signed as undrafted free agents. So that opened the door for two wide receivers, Cadron Boone and Dante Foster. Boone is out of LSU, so he has ties to Odell Beckham as well as Adam Henry, the wide receivers coach. Dante Foster is out of Ohio University. They also brought in B.J. Daniels, who was a seventh-round pick for the Niners in 2013, has played the quarterback position, the wide receiver position, and then defensive end Ishaq Williams, who's a local product, Brooklyn, New York, Abraham Lincoln High School, and he's also out of Notre Dame, though he hasn't played competitive football since 2013. So those are the new arrivals for the Giants. And, you know, when you look at these moves, Paul, it's two-front. Number one, you add more depth. And number two, and we've talked about this, they have had a track record of taking chances on some undrafted players, and more often than not, they have surprised.
Well, that's where you can take chances, because we have talked for the last week or so about how the Giants wanted to minimize their risk with their draft picks, especially their high draft choices. That's not necessarily the case when you're talking about the undrafted rookie free agent class. That's the place where you can, not to disparage anybody, but throw mud against the wall and hope something sticks.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what you're doing. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it bears repeating. I think this is probably the most interesting, most talented, undrafted rookie free agent class that I have seen in recent memory of all my years covering the Giants. I could easily see three guys sticking out of this class. And I know a lot of people are probably saying, well, you know, that's a lot. It is a lot when you consider only about 45 league-wide are going to make it. But there's some guys here that I like. I'm going to reserve opinion and hold my names for a while yet, because all we're seeing now is, you know, shirts and shorts running against air, you know. But there are some things that I really like about a number of guys, not just one or two or three. There's a number of guys with their resumes, with the ability to grab guys off the scrap heap when they had make it great. That's another thing, Lance. I want to be very clear about this. A number of these guys had make it draftable grades, and they were out there. And so I feel like you're going to enjoy watching some of these guys at training camp, and some of them are going to pop off the page, and people are going to be like, wow, where'd that guy come from? It's going to happen.
We went over some of the other undrafted free agents who already signed right before rookie minicamp. We did that on yesterday's program. Three of these four, though, Williams is an undrafted free agent. The other three that I named, Paul, they have NFL experience. They've been on practice squads. Minimal, but they have been through the mix and matches of NFL rosters and so forth. And B.J. Daniels, and we don't need to go crazy in terms of into each and every one of these players, mainly because, as you said, it's very early in the evaluation period. B.J. Daniels is interesting, though. And the one thing I do want to note is started as a quarterback in college.
Yes.
But then when he went to the NFL, he was with the Seattle Seahawks on their practice squad, began as a quarterback. They then believed that they could try to get him on the field more often than not because Russell Wilson, the last time I checked, is their starter. So they transitioned him to wide receiver. And
by the way, there's a starting quarterback in this locker room too.
Correct. By the name of Eli Manning, the last time I checked, which makes it difficult to make a niche in as the quarterback. But we are seeing this trend in terms of NFL rosters where Braxton Miller, for example,
yes,
who was just taken out of Ohio State, athleticism you can't teach.
Right.
So there are certain things that you see in a player you want to try to get them on the field, whether it be through special teams or something else. So maybe you try to find another area, another position that you can maximize their value and their talent.
Well, as you know, with only Manning and Nassib on the Giants roster at quarterback, to me, I still think of B.J. Daniels as a quarterback because you like to have a third arm around to throw passes during the course of the spring and the summer camp. You don't want to burn your two quarterbacks' arms out now. They got a full season to go, you know, in the fall. Look, I remember the day, and again, I'm dating myself. You brought five quarterbacks to spring minicamp. Five. And you even might have brought five to the fall camp in July, or summer camp, as it's called. Five. That was not out of the question in those days because you did not want to burn out arms. You needed somebody to throw the ball to all these guys. So I think they're looking at Daniels now as a QB until somebody tells me otherwise. And I would also say Boone, just as a matter of fact, he has been on some practice squads and he's been in some camps the last year and a half, has been timed at sub-4.4 speed in the past. He's a burner.
And he's coming from a good program that had Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, and so forth.
And Adam Henry was the LSU wide receivers coach.
So there's a number of connections in terms of the Giants. Well, that is going to wrap up our intro here for today's program. Those of you watching on Twitter, we advise you to head on over to Giants.com to watch the remainder of the program. Lance Metal, Paul DeTito here with you on Tuesdays, edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. It's been such a blur this week. Yes, I am pushing it here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants chat. We're going to open up the phone lines. Certainly everything is up for the discussion. If you want to talk about some of the roster moves, the incoming rookie class that was out there for rookie minicamp, as well as the ins and outs of the Giants roster. It's important to note the roster could go to 90. Once we get to training camp here. So that's why we're seeing so many additions to the Giants roster at this point. And they have looked at some of the players that were in at rookie minicamp. They had signed some of them as undrafted free agents. A number of them were also brought in, Paul, and we went into this on tryout basis.
Yes.
Some of them were also signed as well. So there's a mixture of how you can bring in these guys to your roster. But at this point, you need the numbers game. You need 90 bodies to fill up your roster.
Well, a lot of stuff is in flux because, as you just mentioned, you've got teams who are bringing in literally dozens of these tryout guys who don't necessarily have even free agent contracts. And maybe there are a few of them who are in other camps doing tryouts right now who you'd like to see. And all of a sudden, the next day, they wind up coming free. And, well, you make the phone call and you bring them in. You say, look, you want to try out here too? There are guys, and I don't know how many folks really understand this, there are guys, free agent tryouts, who might wind up making a circuit and going to two, three, four teams if they can fit them into their schedule. If they wind up only making one-day stops and they get turned away, hey, thanks, here's some lunch, we'll see you another time. You could wind up hopping and bopping around to three or four different teams doing these free agency tryouts.
Well, because once you have your roster set at 90, if you want to make any moves, you're going to have to get rid of somebody. You can't just
all
of a sudden say, oh, we're going to bring in two more guys and we're going to make it 92. 90's the limit. So the Giants, they're operating under that 90 number. If they see somebody, using your hypothetical, Paul, that gets cut in the June cuts, let's say, and they want to bring them in, they're going to have to make a roster move to accommodate that.
Well, and that's why teams sometimes are reluctant, because even at this early stage of the game, when they are trying somebody out, they do understand that if you're going to bring him in and you are going to give him some type of contract, it comes at somebody else's expense.
Let's head back to the phone lines here as we continue the dialogue on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. We'll get to your tweets as well. Marco's in Connecticut. He gets us going here today. Marco, what's happening?
Hey, Lance and Paul. How are you today?
Doing well, Marco. How's things with you?
Great, great. Wanted to call, and I love the topic of the undrafted guys, and I'm sure when camp gets going and we start hearing these names, I'll be looking forward to calling in and talking about that. But I wanted to talk about pass rusher on this team, and I have a great question, I think, for you guys at the end that I'd like to listen off air. What do you think about the depth on this team at pass rusher, especially for what Spags likes to do? You know, there's the two frontline guys, and then behind that, you know, all I could do is think back to what Spags has had in the past, when he's been here especially, and moving guys around and what he's been able to do. you know, what's the group that we're looking at? Is it Kerry Wynn? Is it, and then I guess Oa? Is that the two that are behind GPP and Vernon?
Well, I think it. Yeah, I'll let you. I was going to say, in terms of experience, Marco, I mean, I think those are probably the first two names that come to mind. Though, you know, I'm considering Double O, though, a part of the 2016 rookie class because he was limited to just four games. So I still view him as sort of an incoming rookie. The only exception is he's got a better grasp of the defense than anybody else that just joined the team. And Wynn was an undrafted free agent. He was brought into the mix in 2013. So he clearly, at least, he's changed defenses since then. But he at least understands the culture and how the organization is run. I mean, outside of that, you have a number of young guys, up-and-coming guys, whether it be some undrafted free agents, they're going to have an opportunity to prove themselves. But if I were to build the depth chart right now, I would put Wynn and Double O as those next two guys in the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And until the Giants wind up determining how many of these other free agent guys or maybe even someone who comes in from the outside is going to, you know, sew up one of those spots, those are going to be the two front runners.
Hmm. I think it remains to be seen what happens there. We have to have a balanced team, and, you can only allocate so many resources to one position, but surprisingly, what we were able to do out of the draft, and free agency was great with bringing in Vernon, but I'm interested to see what happens there. I think, you know, a guy that I don't think anyone's talking about too much, I'm just thinking about him right now, he was injured last year, but I think Kennard is kind of flying under the radar, not necessarily as a defensive end, or I mean, he could be a pass rusher, but I just think as a big defensive player for this team, I don't think enough people are talking about Devon Kennard. What do you think about that?
Well, Devon Kennard fell into that injury bin last year where, after having 4.5 sacks in virtually a month and a half at the end of his rookie season, he really, garnered a lot of headlines. And I'm not gonna step away from that. I was giving him a lot of praise because I really liked what he was doing. And then last year, everything kind of went backwards because of the injury. So I don't know that anybody is underestimating him or flying him under their radar. I think what they're doing is saying, hold on a second. We praised him a lot when he was a rookie. Now he got hurt. It's time to just pull in the reins, take a step back, and wait and see. He becomes, I hate to say this, and this is not so much in a negative connotation, but he's now a show-me player.
Yeah.
Because show me what you got. Show me you are the real deal. Show me that what you did as a rookie was exactly what you are. That's what he's become right now. And sometimes when I say show me player, it's more like, hey, what have you done? You haven't done anything. Show me you belong. That's not the case with Devon Kennard. It's not show me you belong. It's show me you are what you were as a rookie. It's a little different.
Where you're going to pick up, essentially.
I mean,
that's where I think a lot of these players get thrown into the mix. And, you could throw in a Victor Cruz. Jonathan Hankins is coming back from an injury. There's a number of these players on this.
Let's face it.
Bromley, Andre Williams, they could also be in that category.
No question. Now, that's a little different, though, because Andre Williams hasn't been hurt.
Correct, and same thing with Bromley. Those guys are not necessarily battling
it.
Well,
right.
Show me players from the point that Paul was saying where maybe you want to see them take the next step. But a lot of these other guys were hurt last season.
The injured guys fall into a different basket, and the thing that makes it so painful is that after four straight non-playoff seasons and a plethora of injuries, I think a lot of people, especially the people around this facility, are so down and sick of thinking about injuries and talking about injuries and having to explain and hope that guys are going to come back and do this and do that. There's such a cloud over those kinds of guys right now that nobody wants to get their hopes up, and I think they're reluctant to even talk in a very positive way because they don't want to get let down. I don't think that's a knock on the guy's ability. I think it's just right now the way that the injuries have affected people's atmosphere towards those players.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question? I'll take it off the air.
Yeah,
sure.
I think this is a pretty hard a hard task here, but I'm going to ask you to rank these players of when they were in their prime, not career, just in prime. Michael Strahan, OC. Talk JPP. Think about that. I think that's pretty challenging. Thanks, guys.
All right, Marco. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. So he named the heart and soul of the Giants pass rush, essentially.
It's not hard.
Well, you got to give him credit. They're trying to challenge you in some capacity, Paul.
Well,
but
I'll let you go first.
No, I'll let you go.
I have the definitive answer.
I want to hear your definitive answer then.
The definitive answer, okay, if you're talking about big playability, Strahan's going to be number one no matter what.
Okay.
He's a Hall of Famer, and that is unquestioned. He is number one. Now, if you're talking big playability, OC's number two.
Fair.
Okay. Tuck is number three because he did it in big games. We know what he did in both Super Bowls and the playoff runs. And JPP is last.
So it's essentially the order of the names he gave us.
Yes. That's very, very simple. Now, if you want to talk about overall projection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we still don't know where JPP is going to wind up. Now, again, I don't think he's ever going to be what he was a couple of years ago. So
the script is still being written.
It's still being written.
Therefore,
so I don't want to put limits on him. I don't know. But to me, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to change that four in that order. The only thing I would say, now let me give you a little asterisk that just says, if you're talking about overall play in, play out, not necessarily big play, big games, but just play in, play out, warrior, I'm going to flip Tuck with OC. And I'm going to make him number two, and I'm going to make OC number three. See, OC was more of a Reggie Jackson type player, if I can steal a football analogy. The strip sack, phenomenal. Remember the 10 forced fumbles
yep.
he had that one season?
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. And big play, strip sack, incredible. You never took your eye off OC when he was on the field because he could make that kind of play. But play in, play out, Tuck was more grading in and play out. He'd have more plus plays by the end of the game than OC would in his prime. But OC would have the plus circle star big red check. Play.
Well, because he'd have those big game-changing type of plays.
Not that Tuck didn't have some of those.
But OC volume, he had the edge
OC
there.
OC made a habit of it.
Absolutely. And I think with Tuck, you know, Tuck to me is the equivalent of in basketball. I always say there's players that collect stats, but it doesn't show up in the box score. Tuck to me was that type of player where he would do a lot of the little things that were important, being in the right spot, helping stop the run. It's just it's not flashy.
Well, I'll give you a great example. Justin Tuck could come out of a game, okay, with seven tackles, no sacks, no forced fumbles. But of those seven tackles, maybe three of them stopped first downs because they were on third and two or third and one.
But who's making a column for that, I guess, in the box?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Key critical plays, just not flashy.
And OC might only have three tackles in the game, but had a sack and a half and a forced fumble.
Or returned one for a touchdown, even.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm talking about when you kind of have to differentiate that list and why you would flop one over the other depending upon the list.
It depends on the criteria. He's more of the highlight reel type of player.
There's no question about that.
With Strahan,
and
too.
Again, that's not to disparage either one of those guys who OC was still a great player, but more the highlight guy. Tuck was could give you highlights, but more of just a great player.
Strahan and JPP are your bookends to answer Marco's question. I would sit here, and I think we could have a heartfelt debate about how Tuck and OC could be interchangeable at 2 and 3, respectively, depending on the criteria that
you
want.
It sounds like you agree.
I agree with your initial ranking, and I agree that if you then want to flip the criteria and talk about game in, game out, play in, play out, perhaps Tuck gets a little edge over OC there.
I'll tell you what now. You really want to have some fun? What was the caller's name again? AJ?
Marco.
Marco?
Yeah.
Marco, if you have any old-timers, okay, at home or up the block in your neighborhood, ask them for that ranking. Now throw in Leonard Marshall, George Martin, Jack Gregory, Jim Cadcavage, and Andy Robustelli. And now come up with a ranking. Oh, baby, now that's going to be fun.
Well, thankfully, Paul is going to have some self-control on this program, and we're not going to entirely get invested in this, or else he'll give you a dissertation that'll last forever.
Most folks watching on the internet probably don't even know who some of those guys are.
Well, some of them are household names, and some of them are guys that you would claim are household names and so forth, considering you've been around
calls.
The household for so long. Let's head back to the Lions. That's a good transition there. AJ's in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
I'll take him out, Kyle.
You got it, AJ.
I know the Will Johnson signing the fullback for Pittsburgh. Do you think he would do some H-back or tight end? No, he had those experience.
Well, Paul and I have talked about this a lot, AJ. I think he's a versatile player. I would not categorize him to one specific slot within this Giants offense. He's played tight end. He's played fullback. He could catch the ball. He could block. So the Giants, I could see turning to him in a variety of different situations. I wouldn't say right now he's only going to be a fullback or he's only going to be a tight end. We're going to have to wait till they get out on the field and practice a little bit more and line up. But right now, I would not place any limits on a guy like Will Johnson.
And I also like the Giants undrafted rookie out of Cowboys, a defense tackle, Matt House. I kind of put up for him to make the watch stuff.
Yeah, Milhouse was one of the players, AJ, that we were talking about yesterday. Greg Milhouse, the defensive tackle out of Campbell, 6'1", 295. Oh, yeah. And there are a lot of people that certainly have been calling in about him, as well as some of the other defensive linemen. And, you know, it's a volume game right now. He's going to have an opportunity to make a name for himself along with a number of these other young guys. And, you know, Kerry Wynn made the team as an undrafted free agent. So the Giants have had a track record. Adewale Ajomo is another guy I would throw out. He made the team in 2012. There have been defensive linemen that have come in. They don't have that name notoriety. They outplay the competition in training camp and in the preseason, and they've made the roster. So, you know, Milhouse is going to have just as good of a chance as anybody else in the mix who falls under that category.
And I also like the other undrafted rookie out of Florida State, the cornerback, Dayton.
You're talking about Darian Thompson?
No, the undrafted cornerback out of Florida State.
Cornerback out of Oregon State. Okay, they added a number of guys. I'm just looking over my roster sheet here because there's so many different names.
Boise State.
Boise State is Darian Thompson. So that's why I thought maybe you were referring
to
the safety.
He means Dante Daignon.
That's who he meant, the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just real, you know, I don't know. At 5'9", 158, and I've already talked to some people about him, he's really, really small. Obviously a slot corner without question. I mean, I don't like just putting a label on a guy saying he's too small to play in the league. I don't like doing that. I think that's a mistake. I think you have to let the guy play and let him prove to you that he can't do it rather than, you know, just saying it. I do question it at that size. That's going to be a heck of a problem for him. Matchups are not going to be in his favor very often. So I don't know. I think he's got a heavy obstacle to overcome.
AJ, appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for taking my call.
Think about a guy like Charles James, small guy who certainly made an impact for the amount of time that he was.
And he was one of my dark horse guys, remember?
So there have been guys that are small in stature that have played hard.
I'm going to need to see him during training camp and to see how does he adapt, how does he adjust, how does he deal with the lack of size, can he overcome it, is he sticky with his coverage, does he have good acceleration and recovery speed, does he have great ball skills. There are things you can do, you know, to overcome a size disadvantage. He's got to be able to do all of those things because of where his measurables are if he's going to be able to compete.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Richie on Long Island. Richie, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for making it, Richie. What do you have for us?
What you guys were talking a little about, the D-line before, I just wanted to point out that I think a great D-line will help the O-line. And in this case, you know, like before you had Strahan, Tuck, OC, you know, that definitely improved the O-line of that time. And I think the D-line that we have now, you know, Snacks, Hankins, and Vernon is going to greatly improve the O-line of this time. I think also as, you know, because in games, you know, Eric Flowers is a rookie, but he tends to struggle with speed guys off the edge. And
well, he was also playing on a sprained ankle for most of the season, and it got habitually sprained time and time again, aggravated time and time again. Don't forget that when you grade Eric Flowers' tape.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, and of course he toughed it out. You know, he showed you know that his toughness. But also, you know, I'm glad he's gonna go up against, you know, JPP in training camp. I'm glad he's gonna go up against Olivia Vernon because they're gonna make him better. You know, off the edge. You know, given their type
absolutely
of, level of playing ability that they have. And one thing, you know, just a quick point. Since I can't wait for training camp, what is your best guess of when training camp would be? I know no official number dates have been released as of yet, but you know, I'm just trying to mark it on my calendar. Like, when can I, you know, try and ask for a day off or something like
well,
that?
Well, I'm with you, and trust me, I am holding my breath on it because I need to know too. You know, my entire life revolves around training camp, and it does. I'm not kidding you.
Schedule a day off from work to go there.
The deal with the NFL is that you cannot open training camp more than 15 days before your preseason kickoff. Now, for the Giants, based on their preseason kickoff of August 12th, count 15 days back, and I believe you will get to July the 28th, if I'm not mistaken. Is 15 days back?
Are they allowed to open a little bit earlier because they have a new coach?
No.
That's only because of minicamp. Minicamp should get flexibility with respect to a new coach.
They had the extra minicamp last week.
But it has nothing to do with training.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So think of Thursday, July 28th. As the earliest the Giants can open camp. Now, again, this is strictly unofficial. Nobody has any idea what Coach McAdoo has decided. He hasn't told anybody yet, to my knowledge, because I certainly haven't had it come down to me. But it's not going to be earlier than that. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Thank you.
All right, sir.
Appreciate the phone call. You got it. Thanks, Richie.
I don't know why he hasn't consulted me yet.
Well, I mean, clearly. He has to get his priorities straight because that's a big oversight on his part.
He's been busy, and I appreciate that, but at some point he's going to have to check with me.
Well, I'm looking at last year's schedule just to get an idea. Does July 31st ring a bell last year? I mean, I'm looking at the autograph schedule.
Don't even look at that. It has nothing to do with that. Again, it's maximum 15 days before
your first preseason kickoff.
July 28th.
But I'm talking about the first preseason game last year in conjunction with when training camp started.
That's irrelevant.
But you could use that as a barometer to see when they may have kicked
Let's put it
off.
This way.
Yeah.
Usually Coach Coughlin took the full 15.
Correct.
They allowed you 15. He took the 15.
And I don't see why McAdoo wouldn't try to take advantage
of that
either.
I would be surprised if he didn't. So, if you
late July is pretty much what
you're the kind of person who's thinking about rolling the dice because you're not sure what day to take off of work. My guess would be the maximum 15, July 28th. But we have no information, and I swear it to you, we do not. And I guarantee you, once it comes in, Neely and the rest of the internet staff is going to put that thing right up there on Giants.com so that everybody can make their plans. Because I know there are people who hold up their summer plans for Giants camp. I know. Trust me. I know firsthand that people hold up their plans
to those people
for that July minicamp schedule.
And the Giants will make a formal announcement, as Paul mentioned. There's probably going to be, I'm sure, some former players coming on hand
but
to sign autographs and so forth.
August 23rd and August 25th, Bruce Springsteen will be at MetLife
oh
Stadium.
Oh, my God. Not again.
Badlands. Just saying.
See what I have to deal with? Yes. Anything else you'd like to promote or get out? Because we got some time here now that we've reached the midway point. I just want to give you a
platform. I don't know that the boss needs any more promotion from
okay.
me.
Okay. With that being said, I'm going to promote something here. Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Lance Meadow, Paul Dottino here with you on Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can't get to a phone. Certainly, you can head to social media. We're going to answer some of your questions on social media. In terms of the timing of last year, Dave, our producer, throughout. So training camp last year was from July 31st to August 25th. The first preseason game was August 14th. So that would make sense that it would start at July 31st, exactly 15 days before the start.
Tom wasn't going to give away free days, you know, when they had 15 days as the rule, he was taking all 15. And I'm sure Coach McAdoo probably will too.
Well, especially when there's no two-a-days, there's limited opportunities with pads on and so forth. It would make sense to obviously maximize that.
Oh, and you forgot the shameless plug. At Lance, M-E-D-O-W. Lance
yes,
Meadow,
yes,
M-E-D-O-W.
We sure you got the spelling. You're
and
really
at Giants, well. W-F-A-N. Just in
go.
Case you
yes.
want to hit us up on our own pages instead of Giants Chat.
You can tell we're in the promotion state of
mind.
I'm
having it. Look, yes. The sun is out. And the guys are working out on the field. And the lines are on the field. And I am giddy.
Yes. You're already in training camp mode.
It's great. What kills me is that at some point very soon after the veterans come in for their mini camp and the OTAs, then we actually have a month of a moratorium where there's nothing. That's a black hole in my calendar. That's terrible.
Of course. But see, the good thing is you've had experience in this department.
I have, and it doesn't get any easier.
This is not necessarily uncharted territory, as I like to say.
I live for practice. You understand that?
Oh, trust me. You do not have to convince me. You may have to convince them out there listening and watching, but I don't need to be convinced in terms of that department. All right, let's get to Twitter. I know a number of people weighing in on tweets, and I want to certainly address some of your questions. All right, AJ, who actually called in, at AJ Marshall 3, do you think the Giants will sign Jerod Powers or Leon Hall to add veteran presence to cornerback depth?
Both guys are still available as free agents on the market. And for that reason, I'd say the answer is certainly possible. The Giants showed some interest in both players, but to this point, no signatures on any of the contracts with the Giants or anybody else. So I would say they're still in play.
And we've seen this before. We've seen some late arrivals just as training camp starts up. And I can't emphasize enough, and I know you and I have talked about this even off the air, Paul, that June 1st, that date, really triggers things in the NFL landscape because there's players that you may have not anticipated that are going to be out there, and that's going to shake up rosters a tad. So I think that's the key date to watch next before maybe other free agents start getting signed, because there's a number of veterans in a variety of positions. They're still out there. And they have not been signed. And part of it may be all of a sudden a team is in need of a wide receiver or a cornerback when somebody on June 1st gets cut.
And
so the market increases.
When the next team says, I want to get that veteran, and it turns out maybe it costs them a little bit of money, well, now they got a salary cap issue, and maybe they get rid of somebody. So you never know.
Ben at Gruen Ben, speaking about the rankings for the defensive ends. He says defensive end prime rank. So he's considering when this player was in their prime that year. He says Strahan 1, OC 2. He's putting JPP 3 because he's citing that 2011 season as being the prime year. And then he has Tuck number 4. I just want to throw out another caveat. He says in terms of unstoppableness. That's his phrase.
You know what the problem is? And again, this all goes down to your perspective. When you talk about a guy in his prime, are you literally talking about his best year, his career year? Or when you talk about a guy in his prime, are you talking about the middle 3 or 4 years of his career? There's a difference now.
Well,
a career year is 1 year. That's just his best year. How is he in his best year?
A career year to me is not necessarily a prime year because
I don't think it is either.
We've seen players that are 35 years old and sometimes they have career years.
That's why I don't think it is. When you ask me about a guy in his prime, I'm going to take that 3 or 4 year span in the middle of his career when he was at his best. I'm not just going to single out 1 year. So that's why I think his list is different because he's singling out JPP's 1 year.
Which is a career year.
As that's a career
to
year.
The prime year. And the problem is we don't know because JPP's career hasn't ended yet.
Well, that's
so
it.
We don't know which those middle years that you would rank.
We
in
don't
prime.
Know.
That's why I think by default you put him at number 4 right now just because it's unwritten, the script. Whereas the other three, it's a little bit easier.
And it's unlikely given what he has gone through that he's going to be able to repeat 16 and a half sacks, I would say. I'm not going to put a limit on him, but I would say the odds are not good on that.
So, Ben, if you want to clarify for the sake of Paul Dottino, I advise you to maybe continue to chime
Semantics
in.
Semantics are important.
Yes, they are. No argument there.
Especially when you start comparing guys from different eras or different histories.
Now, a number of people weighing in on the Boise State corner that we were talking about
yes.
earlier, Dante Dion.
He's a ball hawk.
78 at Rob TPA. He says that he's a playmaker.
Yep.
The guy's tape is a highlight reel from what he said.
Again, but you're talking about level of comp. Not that Boise State is you know, FCS, because it's not. I mean, it's big time FBS football. But nonetheless, this is the NFL, the elite of the elite, where sometimes your slot receivers are even 6'1". That's tough. That's tough. He's going to have some difficult matchups if he makes it.
And we'll see whether or not, you know, he can hang tight with those taller wide receivers, which certainly the Giants will present in camp here. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Benno. Thanks so much for tuning in for Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll get to more of your phone calls right now. Those of you chiming in on social media certainly appreciate the input. True Blue at Fior Caporale. Any info on Ishak Williams? Well, Williams is a local product, so I've had an opportunity to see what he did in high school. And when he was at Lincoln, he was considered the best player in the state when he came out in 2010. Now, in high school, remember, like most players, Paul, they use you every which way on the football field. They'll line you up at tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, defensive
end. They'll clone
you
if they can.
Indeed. So he was moved all around. I mean, he played tight end and he played defensive end. Those were his two primary positions in high school. Very athletic, a lot of upside, and that's why he got a tremendous amount of offers. He went to Notre Dame, and he played 3 years there. Now, the reason why he hasn't played since 2013 was because of an alleged academic issue with five players at Notre Dame. That's why he hasn't been on the field. So, you know, he's now first, Paul, getting back into the mix of competitive football. So that's the first thing that I think the Giants are going to have to evaluate before you take it the next step.
There's been a weight fluctuation.
Yeah.
You know, after the first year he was out, I believe he ballooned up to like 270 pounds. You know, at one point he was playing at like 245. And supposedly now, what are they listing him at, 260?
Let's see what they have him here on this roster.
They got him at 253. 6'4", 253 is what they got him at right now. So, obviously, he's gotten himself in shape. Now, how much of his football skills have accumulated rust, I can't tell you that because what they're doing right now is not enough to show me that. But, you know, that shows me if he was at a high of 270 and he's at 253, it shows me he got in shape and he was serious about it.
Yeah, his script is really going to be told, I think, once we get to training camp and what he shows day to day in terms of the intensity of play.
You know, though, and you folks have been watching the show long enough to know, especially guys in the trenches, you can't tell beans right now. You need contact. And even at training camp when they're playing video game football, you don't get enough contact. People all the time, they say, well, it's a cop-out. You know, no, it's not a cop-out. You can't tell about guys in the trenches until they start hitting. And they don't hit unless they're playing preseason games. That's why those preseason games and every snap you get in one of those games takes on uber importance. That's why Tom Coughlin would tell you, you know, when he was here the last several years, the percentage of grade on those preseason games was going up and up and up because of the new CBA from a couple of years back. So a guy like Williams is a primary guy of monumental importance. When he gets in the preseason games, he's got to make the most of every snap.
Let's head back to Twitter and keep sending them in. Hashtag Giants Chat. Certainly appreciate all the questions, all the comments, a number of different topics being addressed here on social media. Earank Waiters at Nick for Life. Love the pick, B.J. Goodson. I think he'll be a sleeper of this draft class. Reminds me of the Miami linebackers we had in the late 90s. Well, Goodson comes from a great defense. Clemson, if you look at the numbers over the last few years, they were by far one of the best defenses in all of college football. He played behind a number of talented linebackers. His number, his name was called in 2015. He became the primary middle linebacker. And, you know, I think he's a very smart player from what I've seen on film, from listening to his interaction with the media. He really is able to seek out the holes and aid in the running game. But, you know, keep in mind, he's got a number of players in front of him who have much more experience in the NFL right now as it stands right now in this Giants roster. So, you know, his biggest challenge is, can he do enough in training camp, Paul, to jump a Jasper Brinkley, to jump a Keenan Robinson, some of these other established veterans?
You know, Brinkley has the advantage of being in Spags' system at the end of last season. And we know firsthand, knowing the playbook is of utmost importance. You know, this is not a situation where an athlete's going to come in like Lawrence Taylor was, and he's going to be able to do a lot of his own stuff because he's just that dominant. That's not the case with the guys we're talking about. Goodson is a, you know, third-day draft choice, fourth-round pick. He's not going to come in here and be able to improvise off the playbook. He's going to have to know the playbook, and he's going to have to follow direction, and he's going to have to make sure that he gets his homework straight, because if he does well on the quizzes in the classroom, then he's halfway there. Now he's got to go and outperform those veterans on the field if he's going to steal their spot in the lineup.
And I'll throw it out to the rest of the audience. I think it's a good point that Twitter brought up. You know, who do you see as the sleeper of this draft class? 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Maybe somebody that's not been talked about much, especially in that group of the Perkins, the Adams, and the Goodsons, those third-day selections that Paul was just talking about. Eric at RuntFan78. Giants turned over the roster, now have a young team. Biggest factor for 2016, in his opinion, is who the team leaders will be in the locker room, since it's a young nucleus right now, he's saying.
I mean, I think that's a very logical question to ask, and I think that we've tried to answer it over the course of the last several months. Guys like Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg have clearly begun to assert themselves as young veterans, as guys who are the next set of leaders, or at least part of the next set of leaders in the Giants locker room. Who else will be those guys? You know what? We are going to have to find out. They are going to have to develop. But I would start with those two.
You look at, over the last few years, just captains overall. You know, you had John Beeson. Unfortunately, he got hurt. You know, Eli's been a mainstay on the offensive end, and Zach DeAussie's mainly been the captain on special teams. So there's an opportunity.
And he's a leader.
And he's a leader, too.
Of his unit.
And probably,
there's no question.
Probably a leader that often gets overlooked, Paul.
You're right. We don't talk about
but
it very much.
But he's still in the locker room. So he is still going to have a presence, and he's been on two Super Bowl teams.
And gone to the Pro Bowl.
Correct. So it's not as if he hasn't seen his fair share of experiences in the NFL. And who's to say that he doesn't interact with the other players on the team? You know, this is not necessarily a locker room where special teams stays to the left.
No.
Offense to the
right.
He is
in the corner, though.
Defensive. He's in the
corner.
By
Eli.
Yes, well, he's in the corner because he wants to stay away from you, I'm sure, since he's been here since 2007. You can only imagine the questions that he's been asked.
Oh, but they can never get away from me.
No, they can never because of those quick shoes and those happy feet. We've been trying to run away from him. But I think DeAussie is an important player to bring to the forefront. In terms of just, if you were to speculate here, though, Paul.
Yes.
You know, and throw out a few other names, or at least guys that have opportunities to step up. Now, I look at a guy like Jasper Brinkley. Now, I think he can emerge as a leader, given his veteran presence and the fact that he stepped up late last season.
If he's a starter, and we have said we think he may have a small leg up, but we don't know if he's going to win the starting job.
Richburg's a great one that you threw out because you could see vocally, even with how he interacts with the media, he's taking that next step.
And you know what? We often overlook Eli, too, because he's not a rah-rah guy. Eli, in his own way, is a hell of a leader. He really is because of how much he takes – guys under his wing, and especially the receivers, and helps them and becomes basically a second wide receivers coach to the wide receivers and the tight ends. That's leadership. It may not be what we typically think is leadership, but it is. You're right, though. I would like to see some more leadership in that locker room, and we're going to see how it grows.
What about Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen? I mean, I think those are two guys that I would throw in to the mix, too, especially Jennings.
Yeah, and Vereen has a Super Bowl with the Patriots.
So those are two players too.
I mean, I don't think they come to mind right away, but you know, certainly those are guys who have tremendous professionalism kind of qualities.
Especially Jennings. I mean, when you listen to
both of them
interact with media, Vereen too, but Jennings, I think, welcomes it and it has no problem with addressing the issues for the sake of the team.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for a player that at least can, you know, speak for the team and speak in front of his teammates. I mean, that would certainly be a player that I would throw right into the mix. All right, we want to certainly continue to work in phone calls, but, you know, social media is a big part of this show, and we're certainly going to continue to do more and more of that. So keep sending in those tweets. We'll get to as many questions and comments as we can throughout the remainder of the program. In the meantime, 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Len. How's things with you?
Good, good. Everything's good. Hey, poll just real quickly because I know Lance really doesn't want to be talking about this, but if we're running a 4-3, if we're running a 4-3 defense, give me Strahan and Robustelli any day over the others. Although I have to say a big thank you to you for bringing up some of those names. Boy, they were terrific football players.
Oh yeah, there's no question. Hey, and Robustelli's in the Hall of Fame as well. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, right,
you know,
right. I mean,
you're not exactly reaching for that one.
Absolutely. But you know, if you start looking at the numbers, Cat Cavage's numbers were really pretty terrific, Paul.
I agree with you, and I had many conversations with the late Wellington Mara about how Charlie Connolly was always his poster boy for the guy in the rip-off category of not getting into the NFL or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, people talked about Gil Hodges all the time with baseball. He always thought that Charlie Connolly was that guy in football, and I think Cat Cavage was right there with him, a guy who certainly deserves to be in there, and you know, for whatever reason, he never got his due.
I think you're right on both of those players, Paul. Listen, it's there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. It's been a terrific offseason. Of course, it looks good on paper. Hopefully, everybody stays healthy and these guys come through. And, you know, the rookies turn out to be veterans by game 10, 11, and 12. But it sure does look good. And, you know, lots of reasons to be optimistic. And I'm just hoping some of the young veteran players like Bromley and Ola and guys like Kennard, start to come through. Still a little worried about the right side of the offensive line, but I think it'll all take care of itself as we get closer to the season. But I'm starting to get excited. It's been a terrific offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you, Len. I think they've taken some really good steps in the right direction, but their work is not done.
No, I agree, Paul, but I'm feeling better today than I was back in January, that's for sure.
You should.
I can see a push toward 10 wins. Again, staying healthy in this league is such a big part of it, as you know, and everybody knows. That's not anything new. But it's been a great offseason, and feeling pretty good about it. And I hadn't had a chance to comment on the draft or on the free agency thing too much, but I just want to say I'm feeling pretty good. And listen, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, you got it, Len.
Thanks. Take it easy, Len.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that he had an opportunity to reminisce with you, too, prior to getting into the current roster.
I strongly encourage all of those who remember the 50s and 60s and 70s Giants, not just the 80s and the 90s and the millennials. I strongly encourage those who remember the 50s and 60s and 70s to call up this program, especially when I am on.
Yes.
Because I love talking about those guys, and I will never stop. Their place in Giants history is cemented forever, and they should never be forgotten.
That's why Len is your ideal caller. See, of all the days, Len, for you to select to call in, he hit the jackpot.
You know what I'm scared about? It sounded like he was driving, which means he was watching the show on his phone app.
Well, no, he could be listening, too, on the phone app.
Oh, I suppose that's true.
You don't necessarily have to look at our ugly mugs.
Drive safely, Len.
Yes, but Len, to me, is more low-key, though, when he's been following the program. It's a cup of coffee on the porch with the rocking chair. The birds chirping in the background, that's the setting for Len in Maryland. I don't know if he's the guy that's going to multitask while focusing on Giants programming. You may be right, but I'm going to go with my serene setting.
So you don't think Len is firing pillows across the living room floor when a fumble hits the ground?
Well, but that's different. That's when we're in the midst of the season, Paul.
Okay.
I'm talking, you know, this is off-season mode. You heard him. He's very excited.
He's evaluated
the offseason moves, the draft. He's low-key. This, to me, is more of let me calmly listen to the Giants programming, sit back, relax. I'd be very surprised if he's driving. But, Len, if you want to reach out to us on a later date, we certainly would love to solve that mystery. In the meantime, we're going to hear from Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Brandon. How's things with you?
Good. All right, I want to touch on two things real quick. The situation with Skip Bayless, man, he is the
Skip
Giants'
Bayless.
Biggest hater, man. I can't stand him sometimes. And I just be thinking that, you know, I know he understands he's a Dallas fan, but he just be trying to downplay everything that we do. And I just want Paul to, the next time when you get a media time with the fellas, I want you to let them know about him and motivate them to be better anyway. You know what I mean? Just to get them an extra chip on the shoulder, because nobody don't – everybody hates the Giants. I don't understand it. And another thing I want to say, what about – because I was talking about the offensive line yesterday, and you know I want Bobby Hart at the right guard position.
Yeah.
What do you think about trading – what do you think about trading for Luke Joku to play the right tackle position from Jacksonville? Because I heard they didn't pick up this option. And they brought in a couple of more linemen, so the writing is on the wall for him. And well, I heard that he probably is a better suit at right tackle than left tackle anyway.
Well, Brandon, they didn't pick up his option, but from what I heard, their goal is they want to try to move him to the right side. I don't think Jacksonville's necessarily looking to get rid of him. I think they want to see what he could do on the right side, and then if they choose to re-sign him, fine. If not, they'll let him walk. But just because they're not high on him anymore on the left side, I don't know if that means that they're willing to part ways with him
I think, Brandon, what you have to understand is that sometimes guys get shifted around in those paperwork situations because the team would like to have them on their terms under their reconfigured scenario. It doesn't mean that they necessarily want to get rid of them.
Oh, okay. Well, just make sure you let the locker room know about that Skip Bellis. He don't want us to do good, and I want you to let
I got good news for you. There are a lot of guys in the New York media who have provided that fuel to the locker room. I don't know that they need Skip Bayless to help them out.
Okay. I just want my fellas to know.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
We will pass the message along, Brandon. Appreciate the phone call. And, you know, speaking of what Brandon just brought up, and, you know, I constantly see these power rankings come out in the offseason,
yes,
because obviously the media needs content to put out. I get it. I understand that. But, you know, I can't emphasize enough to fans to try to put things in perspective. We have yet to get to training camp. There's a lot more rosters that are going to be having to play out in terms of moves. These players have not been on the field. These are just all paper projections. That is all they are right now. There's no substance or water that these hold right now in terms of these early power rankings.
I just think that there are so many things to be done. You know, I know the media and the bosses want all these guys to do that. That's why they're doing the rankings. I don't think anybody really wants to do power rankings at this point. When the boss says you gotta put it up there because we need clicks,
quiet time, and so forth,
you put it up there. But come on. I can't tell you who the 53 guys are going to be opening day for the Giants against the Cowboys in Week 1. How am I supposed to come up with a power ranking when I don't know who the 53 are? Or, for that matter, any of the 53 in the division? I mean,
plus,
seriously.
Well, the other thing is we don't know how injuries could play a role between now and the start of the season as
well. You know how many guys get hurt in training camp?
Yeah.
Please, I don't mean to
jinx
anybody.
No, not that we're trying to jinx anybody, but I mean, listen, those are the facts. Guys are going to get hurt, not necessarily on this team, but across the NFL, and that's going to change the depth chart and so forth.
Of course it is.
So a power ranking right now on May 10th is absolutely meaningless when you have a few more months to go before we get to Week 1. But I understand it sparks dialogue and so forth, but I mean, I think that's what at least Brandon was alluding to. I don't know. I didn't hear what Skip had to say and so forth, but, you know, a lot of these programs right now, it's quiet time. It's all speculation.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the only thing fueling things. Let's head back to Twitter as we approach the end of the program. I know a number of people continuing to weigh in and ask a variety of different questions. Let's take a look at what a number of people are talking about.
I got a guy here if you want.
Yeah, sure. Feel
I got
free.
I got a guy here who says Ben Covayu says Eli is a great leader. He sent it to my particular Twitter. I guess also a Giants chat says so underrated in so many categories. It's ridiculous. Most underrated quarterback in the NFL. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Ben. What's funny about this is there are actually people out there who think they know what they're talking about who wonder if Eli Manning should be a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. I don't see any question. To me, it's a cement slam dunk. Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame. As soon as he's eligible, he's a Hall of Famer. That's it. Case closed. There's no debate, but he's right. There are some football people who aren't sure, media people in particular. And since they vote for the Hall of Fame, by the way, don't be surprised if somehow, some way, some of them don't vote for him. I don't think it'll be enough to keep him out. But, you know, so if that's what you mean by him being underrated, then I guess he's right.
Well, the other thing that I think makes Eli Manning underrated is his durability. I think it's easy
That's
to dismiss
That's part of what
durability.
Makes greatness.
Well, but it's easy to just dismiss that because when you evaluate quarterbacks, more people are interested in the numbers and the stats that that quarterback shows or the wins.
His aren't shabby either.
Not that they're bad. I'm just saying that to me, I want to know that my quarterback's out on the field for 16 games every single season. And nobody else other than a Philip Rivers approaches that category in terms of the longevity of the career right now.
Do you know when I was a kid growing up, Fran Tarkenton was that guy. And it wasn't just because he played for the Giants for a handful of years, but think of all the years that Fran Tarkenton played and how few games he missed. He seemed like he went on forever. And he was a scrambler, as we all know. And, man, some of those Giants offensive lines were not good. And he'd be running for his life. He'd put 50 yards into his runs behind the line of scrimmage, trying to get away from people. And the linemen were always bigger and faster than he was, but he was so elusive with his feet that he was able to stay alive and not take that many hits to where I want to say he missed some time. I want to say he had a shoulder one time with the Giants that he might have missed a couple games, and he had a concussion with the Vikings one time where he missed. But he played, you know, forever, and he hardly ever missed. And yet they made him wait years to get into the Hall of Fame, which was a joke because not only did he have durability, not only did he go to 3 Super Bowls, yeah, I know he lost all of them, but he also had the stats. And yet people made him wait, which was just ridiculous. But off my soapbox.
Well, I agree. I think durability, to me, as I mentioned, I think it's a stat, and I'll say it's a stat because games played that often just gets overlooked. It's more about, you know, the flashy numbers, but, I mean, what good is a player if he can't stay on the football field? Now, that's what I always say.
It's part of what makes up a great player for me. It's part of the components.
Speaking of Ben, he also weighs in on some of the undrafted free agents that we were talking about. He throws out Milhouse as well. 3-tech defensive tackle was draft projected. As you were talking about, a number of these guys having draft grades, not necessarily being selected, but the Giants scouting department having interest in them and bringing them into the mix. That's why I think a lot of people are excited. When you can get draftable players in the undrafted free agent market, all that's doing is it's adding value to your draft class.
I got this one here, this guy, EB, in Wilmer we trust, P-Jot just shilling, he says. I don't know exactly what it is he's talking
well,
about.
That's a mouthful.
I mean, what, because we're talking about lists of great defensive ends, because we're talking about durability, because we're talking about schemes. I have no idea what instituted or incited that comment, but I don't mind saying it and addressing it because I love what I do. I absolutely get off on this. I have the greatest time in the world coming here, talking to you fans for an hour, and talking about history and being the encyclopedic wealth of Giants fandom that's out there and what I like to deal with. And I don't apologize for that. I'm having a great time. I hope you folks tune in because you have a great time too. And so I don't mind addressing that comment because you know what? You can click off the computer.
One last thing on a higher note to end the show off. At NYGmen631, has there been any talks, this is more about the NFL rulebook, of expanding the 53-man roster? There always seems to be dialogue, Paul, but there's nothing right now where I see them perhaps making that tweak. Unless perhaps the schedule expands, I could see maybe they say to themselves, we should expand the 53 or perhaps having everybody just active.
I know we have to go in a minute, so I'm going to make this very quick, but I do want to address the point. Here's what I think. I think that what they should do is allow more freedom to move guys on and off the practice squad and onto the 53-man roster. So if you go into a game on Sunday and you know you have your 7 inactives, you know, you got your third quarterback and stuff, but you also have other guys who are hurt who can't play for a week or two, instead of dealing with the whole thing about, oh, we're going to have to go in short because we don't want to IR the guy because he's not going to be gone for a whole season or anything. There needs to be more freedom of movement with the practice squad so that you don't have to necessarily activate a practice squad guy, cut somebody else off the roster, and then if you want to bring him back down to the practice squad, he's got to be waived so you risk exposing him to somebody else. No, no. If the NFL really wants to get this right, they will allow freedom of movement for practice squad players on a week-to-week basis so that every coach everywhere around the league can field 53 healthy players. That's the solution. Nobody in the big offices over there wants to hear about it, but that's the answer.
Well, I'm all for, if you have the guys on your roster, they're healthy, I'm all for at least having them dress, you know, so at least you have other options on game day on the sideline. That's what I could.
It's not good for the game, for the league, or for the players if you have less than 53 healthy guys and you're forced to go into a game, players down. How many times have we seen it? Yeah. Guys have gone in and you got your seven scratches. All right, those guys are hurt. Those are your scratches automatically. And then you got a couple other guys now. And before you know it, you don't even have your full roster.
Absolutely. So, well, we certainly appreciate all the tweets, all the phone calls, variety of topics we certainly hit on over the last hour. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday starting at noon Eastern. We'll be back up running tomorrow, continuing to field your phone calls and your tweets. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday and stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest with respect to the New York Football Giants. Have a good one.